Well, I don't know if you've got a favourite part of the Christmas story. I love the shepherds. I really do. Don't be scared, shepherds. An angel comes to you this very day, a saviour. We just saw the death sign for saviour, one who saves. A saviour has been born to you. Don't be afraid, boys. What, of a baby? No. Unlikely to be scared of a baby. Afraid of an angel? Probably. The shining glory of God around? Definitely. I've told you a few times of situations where people have challenged me sometimes and say, well, why doesn't God come here now then? Tell him to come here now. So, well, if he did, you know, your eyes would melt in their sockets and your flesh would begin to rot. And they go, hey, calm down. Because, see, it's not just they out there, them out there. It's not just them that have very little idea who God is. We've got very little clue. He is absolutely holy. He is holy. I remember a church member actually saying to me, oh, on Judgment Day, I'll give God a piece of my mind. Well, you won't, because every mouth will be clamped shut. Every single mouth will be clamped shut, and everybody will be aware. Everyone will be aware of their guilt before a holy God. Before a holy God. We're not playing games. We don't play games here. We're not interested in sentimental, slushy stories. We're interested in the truth as laid down in the scriptures. And the shepherds, why do I love them? I tell you one reason. They think. That's why. I could finish there and just say, I love the shepherds because they think about what they've been told. They're ordinary working guys. They're not academics, they're not university philosopher lecturers or anything. They're not the movers and shakers in government or in ivory towers. They're just ordinary fellas working a night shift. That's where they are. Probably playing cards, complaining about their employers, work conditions, pay, talking about women they fancy, just ordinary shift workers. But oh, what a shift that was. What a shift. They would never be the same again. If we read on in the passage, we find that they return their praising and glorifying God. Something amazing has happened. They would never be the same again. They find out the angel was spot on. To you is born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Now, Monday morning, I was driving, and the radio on, there were two celebrities chatting. They were talking about, in order that I can remember, calm, happiness, peace, and mindfulness. Not mindfulness, they said, but mindfulness. Okay? Do you get a difference? No, not me. There we are. They said meditation is not sitting cross-legged. It is going to a football match so that your head can be clear for 90 minutes. Or it's listening to music so that you can be the boss of your thinking. Honestly, in the history of radio, never has so much drivel been spoken for so long. At least it seemed ages. On and on they went, and I couldn't help but thinking, if the majority of people in our land subscribe to this sentimental sludge, as a nation, we've had it. If people actually believe this, then we, just like the Roman Empire and the Ottoman Empire, we're going to slide into the sea. Because if the majority of people believe this rubbish, what a great thing it is then to come to the shepherds. They hear something. They could have easily resorted to some pseudo-Buddhist claptrap as well. Because the message was extreme. To you, guess what? The Son of God has come in to you, and you can go and check him out. I mean, what an outlandish story. They could have said, oh, rubbish, couldn't they? Put the kettle on, man, let's forget all about it. Let's deal the cards out. They could have done that, couldn't they? You know, the message was outrageous. The Son of God is going to be born. Oh, I'll tell you how you can pick him out. He'd be the one baby lying in the feeding trough. I mean, what an astonishing story. Difficult to believe? It's a ridiculous story, isn't it? Unless it's true. See, with us, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We don't have to revert to the religious nonsense of the celebrities. It's the popular stuff in libraries and bookshops now. Huge section on mind, body, spirit. 10 days to self-esteem. 12 ways to feel good about yourself. I kissed guilt goodbye. That's the kind of stuff. It sells. Sells it by the bucket, Lord. You know, when Tony Blair was at Oxford in the 70s, he was a Christian, according to when I read the book some years ago. But it wasn't about souls being converted to Christ. It was about making the world a better place. Well, since he's finished as Prime Minister, in his faith, he has amassed a fortune of £60 million, which is obviously making the world a much better place, as is in his own bank account, isn't it? See, Mr. Blair's Christianity is fake. It's not the real thing. It's powerless. It doesn't convert him from his selfishness to Jesus Christ. But the real thing, like these shepherds, they are changed. They could have easily said, what a load of drivel, but they didn't. Now, I said, what a load of drivel for years without even thinking about it. But they just thought. They weren't mathematicians, but they used a bit of simple logic. Look now, there's one way to check this out. Let's go. We'll find out. We can find out. We can't find out if we don't go. See, just like the pull of gravity can be verified, just step off the roof, you'll soon find out that the gravity is genuine. In the same way, if you go, like the shepherds go and they see and they find out, it's verified. But if you don't go, you can't find out, can you? You know, I spoke to a guy once about the gospel, and he actually asked me, could he save me though? Now, on one level, the answer is yes. Whoever comes to me, says Jesus, I won't turn away. But actually, on another level, the only way to find out if he can save you is for you to go, isn't it? I could tell him, yes, he can save you, he says in the Bible. But actually, you, to check it out yourself, you need to go. If you don't go, you can't sit down with a load of religious books thinking about whether he can save you without going to be saved. You know, all that stuff last Monday, I heard on the radio about tranquility and peace. But peace of mind is not our greatest need, is it? My biggest problem is not my lack of peace of mind. Peace with God is my need, and you are need. I told you before the story when we had a lady working when I was teaching on a one-year contract. I'd been assured by the headmaster that come next September, she was going to have a permanent contract. And I said to her umpteen times, you need to go and see him. He's a lying toad. Go and see him. Make sure you got it in writing. Oh, no, he's assured me. Go and see him. She took no notice. And then the last day of term, when the headmaster is conveniently absent, he has a nice little letter sent saying that there is no job in September waiting for her. See, peace of mind she had, but based on lies, not based on facts. We need peace with God, not based on feelings and gooey and sentimental, but based on truth. And the only way to confirm that is to go and see for yourself, isn't it? Well, you can't have proof any other way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle who wrote that said he thought he was the worst of all. He thought he was the chief of sinners. And let me just look around and see who's here. It's baffling to me. Some of you don't seem to see your sin, man. Here's the apostle Paul, an outstanding Christian, one of the godliest people who's ever walked the planet, and he sees his sin, and you are sitting there and you don't see yours. I just don't get that. Don't you know what you're like? You know, just think of Britain this morning is not at war with France or Belgium or whatever, but actually the Brexit agreements are the kind of wars, just different weapons. This is what we're like. If Paul saw himself the chief of sinners, how can you calmly sit there and you've never gone to Jesus Christ to be forgiven? How can you do that? With the sword of judgment hanging over you right now, and Paul knowing what he was, and you don't know what you are. I don't get that, see. How can you kid yourself that you're not too bad? You know, last week, there was an MP, not Mr. Corbyn, but an MP who was a solicitor, found lying in court about a speeding ticket. Are you any better? I remember a guy, Richard, who was teaching. He went for promotion. He didn't get it. And so he left teaching completely. And on his last day, he was brave enough to go in and barge into the headmaster's office. He was going to tell him a few home truths. And it was this terrible slanging match that everybody could hear for about 50 yards radius, you know. Other two of them shouting and swearing and being cruel jibes at each other and so on. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of all the cruel remarks and the swearing and so on, each one would have definitely picked out a genuine thing that the other one was guilty of. Because that's what we do. Enemies know our faults, don't they? They pick on them when they're in an argument with the enemy and they say, and you, and they nearly always get it right on the nail, don't they? Right on the button. But can you see your sin, though? Your enemies can see it. You know, do you imagine that Almighty God will let you and your sin into heaven? You know, some of you, the shepherds thought, you need to think about these things. Jesus says, come to me. That's what he says. And the only way you can check that he can save you is come. If you don't come, you can't say there's nothing in it. You can't say it doesn't work. You can't say it's not true. You can't say it's rubbish and nonsense. You've got to come. And if you come, you'll find, just like the shepherds did, everything is just as he said. Amen. Well, let's sing.
Guide my way to God.
Almighty God, I thank you that my response, Lord, to the story of the shepherds is also that I will trust in you alone. And I do ask, Lord, that you would bother people before they leave this building, but where they stand and how they think that somehow you are going to accept them into your perfect paradise. Oh, Lord, forgive us our small view of you and our incorrect, totally demeaning view of how awful sin is. Hear our prayers, please. For Christ's sake. Amen.